Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Hey. We left off in daf Kuf Mem Dalet on the Beis. We're holding at about six lines before the end of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines before the end of the page. Amar Vid, Amar Shmuel. A bunch of different topics on today's daf. We're going to discuss, again, continuing in the Shechita Sugyas, whether liquid that's squeezed directly onto food has the status of a liquid or the status of a solid in regard to the issue of squeezing on Shabbos, in regard to the ability to make something Huchsha LeKabel Tumah, because only a liquid is able to be Machshir something LeKabel Tumah. We have Machlokas Tanaim from a Mishnah Machshirin. Once we're on the topic of Huchsha LeKabel Tumah, whether grape juice that's squeezed onto bread in order to give it a certain shine, a certain gleam to the bread, makes the bread Huchsha LeKabel Tumah. We're going to have three different explanations of what that machlokes is about. We're going to have many shittos in Amoraim, whether pickled and cooked vegetables are allowed to be squeezed for their juices on Shabbos. And then we're going to bring a braisa that discusses, very parenthetically, when we can trust hearsay, what kinds of ages we can trust hearsay for. It's completely parenthetical. And then in the Mishnah on Beis is a very, very critical Mishnah about Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, which is an oddly placed Mishnah here in Daf Kuf Mem Hei of Masechta Shabbos. One would have expected this Mishnah to be much earlier in the Masechta, but it's going to lead us into a discussion about certain types of fish in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael, and then we're going to have a little bit of Agarita if we get there at the end of the Daf. Mirsa Hashem, we should have some Agarita at the end of the Daf. So let's pick up again, seven lines from the bottom of the page, end of the line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Sochir Ad Meshkel Shal Anavim L'Tocha G'day Rav Lo L'Tocha Kara. A person can squeeze out a cluster of grapes, meaning squeeze grapes, into a kedera, but not into a ka'ara. What's the difference between a kedera and a ka'ara? Says Rashi, kedera means shel tavshil, the sakno, that you have food cooking and you're squeezing grapes into the food that's cooking in order to make it good. The mucha milsa, the lav lamashka ba'ilei, because it's very clear that you're not doing it for the drink, for the liquid. You're making it part of a food, and you're adding this as an ingredient into a food. So it's not that you're making grape juice, it's that grape juice is an ingredient in the food that you're making. That's not a violation of dash, because it's not derech prikaso, it's not the derech of being mefarik something, of separating the two items. It's as if you're taking ochel from ochel, not as if you're taking liquid from ochel, because right away it goes and it becomes part of another ochel. Now, if there's an intermediate step, if you squeeze it out into a spoon, and then you empty the spoon into the pot, so then Mishabur points out you don't have that same hatter, because the whole point is that right away, it should become an ochel, so it goes from being part of a grape, which is one ochel, to part of whatever's in the pot, which is another ochel. Why can't you squeeze it into a ka'ara? So Rashi just points out that a ka'ara is an empty ka'ara, that's what it means. Avlol tocha ka'ara, dezimnin de lamashka ka'i, v'yafagav de ba'ara, meaning that's really beferish, right? I said from the Mishmur, it's really beferish in the Gemara. That's what lakara means. That when you're squeezing it into a ka'ara, we're talking about an empty plate. Now, there's no way you're going to drink it from the plate. You're probably going to mix it with other ingredients and make food out of it. So isn't that also called that it's going into a food? No, because right now, there's no food in there. And if it's not going into a food right now, even though the way you set it up is the way you put it, you squeeze it out, it's most likely going to be an ingredient in food, still we view it as a liquid, and therefore it would be a violation of mefarik. So that's the chiddush of Rabbi Dor Shmuel. Amr Rav Chista, Midiv Rabbeinu Nilma, so Rav Chista says, okay, taking that chiddush of Rabbi Dor Shmuel, we can derive the following. Cholev Adam Eiz L'Tocha Kedera, Avalo L'Tocha Kara, that it's not only true about squeezing grapes, there's another issue of mefarik, of dash, and that is milking an animal. So if a person milks a goat, he could milk the goat where the milk goes directly into a kedera, but not where it goes directly into a ka'ara. Alma kasavar mashka b'liochel ochelu. So apparently what we're saying over here is, at least with regard to the halachos of schita on Shabbos, any liquid that goes directly into food has a din of food, does not have a din of liquid. Says Tosos, the chiddush of cholev adam eiz, of squeezing goat milk directly into food, but not into an empty pot, nearly Rabbeinu Tam dainu dafka b'yom tov. This din of squeezing the goat milk is only a din in Yontif, it's not a din in Shabbos. T'chazi behem ala achila v'kamo uchlu de'ifras. Because since the goat itself you could eat on Yontif, even though it's alive, you could shech the goat on Yontif and you can cook it and you could eat it, so it's as if the food is coming out of other food. It's very similar to the grape would be, what the grape would be on Shabbos, because the grape is food, and you squeeze out the grape juice into another food, so it's food coming out of food. Aval b'Shabbos lo, but squeezing goat milk out on Shabbos would be aser, because lo chazi l'shchita, it's not roi for shchita, k'mo dosh chashiva, shabehima hika psoles, u'kshecholev, havi k'not alok, ochal mitoch psoles. When we're squeezing goat milk on Shabbos, so then you're separating two completely different things. The goat is considered psoles, because it's something you can never eat on Shabbos. It's a live animal, there's no way to make it mutter to eat on Shabbos, you're not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos. So you're taking ochel out of a psoles, and that's why it's very similar to dash, even though you're not squeezing liquids out of something, but it's not coming out, you don't only look at the status of that which is coming out, you have to look at the status of that which it is coming from, says Tosfos. When it comes to squeezing grapes, so once we're able to say that grape juice that's coming out will have the status of food, we're good, because the grape has the status of food, the juice has the status of food, so it's just food from food. But when we're dealing with milking a goat, even though I might be able to make that goat milk have the status of a food rather than a drink by squeezing it directly onto food, but the goat itself on Shabbos doesn't have the status of a food, and that's why it's going to be problematic on Shabbos. So that's the ha'ara that Tosfos has over here. Says the Gemara further now. So you want to tell me that any liquid that goes directly into food has the din of food and does not have the din of a liquid? So Masav Rami Bar Chama Zav Shecholev Seiz HaCholev Tamei. If you have a zav, a person has tumas zav that's milking a goat, so the milk that comes out is going to be tamei. V'i Amr Mashka Baleochlin Ochelhu B'mayis Kasher. But if you say that any liquid that goes directly into food has a din of food, so how did this goat milk ever become Hukshal Kabbaltumah? If you're squeezing it all directly into food, so how did any of it become Hukshal Kabbaltumah? It first needs to touch a liquid in order for it to become Hukshal Kabbaltumah. So B'mayis Kasher, where did it ever become Hukshal Kabbaltumah? Granted, the guy you're squeezing is Tameh, but he can't be Metameh things that aren't susceptible to Tumah. So answers the Gemara, Kedam Rabbi Yochum, Metipa Melchachas Al Piyadad, Hachanami, Metipa Melchachas Al Piyadad. That the drop of milk that's smeared on the udder helps the rest of the milk come out, so that doesn't have the status of food, that has the status of a mashke, and mela, that's machshir all the other milk that does have the status of food to become food. This is an unbelievable thing. Milk is milk, so you would think whether it has a din of mashke, has a din of ochel, would be tali on a metzius of some sort, would be tali on the physical quality of the milk. It's mamish the same milk, it's milk that's coming out of the same goat at the same time. But that first drop has a din of mashke, the rest has a din of ochel. So we see the definitions of mashke and ochel are not the way what we would call liquid and solid. There are things that are liquids that could have a din of an ochel. Well, I don't know if there are things that are solid that could have a din of a mashke, but there are certainly things that are liquids that could have a din of an ochel. It's not based, mashke, the status of mashke, in a number of halachos, over here in the halachos of Hekshel Kabbal Tumah, in the halachos of Schit, there's a famous Taz in the Halachos of Bracha Achrona. The Taz says that something that's a liquid, that let's say a soup or something that a person eats like a food, you wouldn't eat it when you're thirsty. You eat it as a food as opposed to quench a thirst. That would have the status of the shear that you would measure for Bracha Achrona. The Taz writes that in the Siman Reishiyud you'd look at it as an ochel, not as a mashke. That was one of the heterim, one of the explanations. I think the Kajaglav Ragon, Rav Shech Lekos of the Kajaglav, the Chuvus Eretz Tzvi, Rabari Tzvi Frimer, writes to explain the Chasidish Minag that people make Kiddush on schnapps, on a small amount of schnapps. How can you make Kiddush on Pachas Mirvius? You need to make Kiddush Al Kos, it needs to be on a Revius, and then you need to drink Rov Revius. So how you Yotze on a little shot glass of schnapps that's not anywhere near a Revius? So the Kajaglav explains, because schnapps people don't drink when they're thirsty, they drink for other reasons, but they want to get into a certain state of mind. So So that's not a daf yomi coincidence, because on Purim there's no need to drink schnapps. It's yayin. You're supposed to drink yayin. Okay, so it's not a daf yomi coincidence. But anyway, so a person wants to drink schnapps. So not because they're thirsty. So maybe says the Kashuk Lover has a din of an ochel, and by ochel the shear is because zayis. By ochel the shear is not berevius. The obvious problem with that is then it shouldn't have. In order for somebody to have the status of chamar medina, it should have to be a mashka first. Chamar medina means a drink that people normally drink, but if you want a tiny, the whole heter is that it's not a drink, that it's a food, and that's why you can use such a small amount, then lechora that's a difficult thing to say that it would fit the status of chamar medina. But again, what you see from here is that the status of a mashka does not depend on whether it's a liquid. That's part of it, maybe part of it, but something could be a liquid and still not be a mashka. So Masav Ravina asks again another kasha on what we said, that something that's going into food has a status of food. On the bottom line of Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, Tamei Meisha Sochad Zeisim Va'anavim, if a person who's Tamei Meis squeezes out olives and grapes, Kibetza Mechuvenes, if he squeezes out exactly one kibetza of olives and grapes, Tahar, then it's Tahar. Why is it Tahar? He's a Tamei person. Shouldn't he be Metamei things? So says Rashi, Kibetza Mechuvenes Tahar, Mishni Mesech Taros Mefarish Behedyel He's not touching the liquid. He's only touching the food. He's touching the olive, he's touching the grape. He's squeezing the olive and the grape. And he squeezes that, and it's exactly kebetza mechuvenes. V'kivin de kebetza mechuvenes hu, l'chisachet tipa kamaisa, chasolei mekebetza. Since exactly he's holding olives and grapes, in the exact amount of a kebetza, the second the first drop comes out, he's no longer holding a kebetza of food. Ve'ein ha'ochel afal pishu tamei metamei amashke she'ein ochel metamei acher m'pachs mekebeta. That's the operative rule over here. And even if you have food that is tamei, and this food is tamei because tamei meis is touching it, it cannot be metamei other things unless it's a kebeta. But by the time it wants to be metamei, by the time it has the ability to be metamei anything else, it's not a kebeta anymore because it's missing that first drop. Aval imhaya nogeh b'mashke itmi le'mashke mitip rishona. Now, if the guy was touching the mashka directly, mashka doesn't have to be any shear in order to be tamei. It's only meichel that has that status. So says the Gemara, Hayosem mikabetza tamei. The diuk to make over here is that if it were more than a kabetza, would be tamei. V'yam mashka bali ochel ochel hu b'mayis kasher. But if you say that any liquid that's going into food has a din of food, doesn't have a din of a mashka, so how did this ever become hochshu the kabel tuma, where the tamei meis is going to be able to be metameit? It needs to get wet first from a mashke, and this mashke is going directly into food, so it doesn't have a din of a mashke. So who says that it's squeezing it into food in this case? Maybe we're talking about a case where you soche l'toch hakara, where you're squeezing it into an empty pot. Rabbi Yirmi Ketanayim. Rabbi Yirmi says this in fact is a machlokas tanayim. This whole discussion, whether mashka abali ochel is ochel or not ochel, whether liquid that's squeezed into food is a din of food or not a din of food, is all the machlokas tanayim. And what we're going to do is we're going to quote a machlokas tanayim about something. The first suggestion is going to be that it's about this, but then we're going to have two other suggestions of what this machlokas tanayim might really be about. Hamachlik ba'anavim. A person smears bread with grape juice. Why would he smear bread with grape juice like we do on challahs with eggs? That they'll like paint it with eggs, a very thin layer on top to give it a certain shine to the challah. So someone does the same with grape juice. He smears grape juice on top of bread. So lo huchshar, the bread does not become huchshar lekabel tuma. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer huchshar. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, it does become huchshar lekabel tuma. Now what are they arguing about? Here you have a liquid. It's one of the mashkim, and you're squeezing it and you're putting it on a food, so of course it should be machshir the food to be mekabel tuma. So my lav ba kamifli, isn't this the machlokas? Mar sover mashka bali ochel ochel hu, umar sover lav ochel hu. It's whether this has the grape juice still has the status of an ochel because it's going onto a food. If you hold that juice that's squeezed onto a food as a din of a food, so it's not machshir the bread to be mekabel tuma. But if you hold that it does have a din of food, it is machshir the bread to be mekabel tuma. Shouldn't the bread already be huchshir the kabel tuma anyway? How do you make bread? You have to take a flour and you mix it with water, right? Isn't water machshir the kabel tuma? It's one of the Zayin mashkim. I didn't see anyone discuss, but Pashtus is that you're talking about, you have to say that we're talking about like mezonos bread. We're talking about bread that they didn't need the dough with water, they needed the dough with meperos, which are not makshir l'kabel tuma. Orange juice, apple juice, not makshir l'kabel tuma. But you have to say that it wasn't hukshir before because there was no liquid in there before. I guess that's what you got to say. Okay, so that's one possible explanation of this machlokas about the grape juice smeared on the bread, is they're arguing whether liquid that goes onto a food has the status of food or has the status of liquid. Second possible explanation, maybe everyone agrees it does not have the status of food, it has the status of a liquid. And by the way, two different gersos. Tulsa says that, like we have, that you have to say mashka bali ochel, everyone agrees is lavochelhu. You can't say that everyone agrees that it does have the status of an ochel. Because if it has the status of ochel, there's no way anyone would hold that it is huchshar l'kabel tuma. So we have to say it's lavochel. It has a din of a mashke. Why wouldn't it be machshar l'kabel tuma? Oh, v'hacha b'mashka bali ibud kamiflugi. Over here, there may be another reason why it doesn't have a din of a mashke, because it's a mashke that's immediately holichli ibud. It's being squeezed out to be destroyed right away. Marsover mashkehu, marsover lav mashkehu. And that's the machlokas. Is a mashke that's holichli ibud. Why is it holichli ibud? Who's destroying it? The point is that Rashi points out shah or shoa vovasorfo, that you're putting it on top of bread and then you put the bread in the oven. And right away it gets evaporated in the oven. The fire from the oven immediately burns up this little bit of liquid that you put on the face of the bread. And I guess the point of putting it there was so that it should get evaporated with that fire, rather than the fire burning the crust of the bread over. So it gives it saves the bread from becoming too crispy, from becoming too burnt by it getting evaporated. So it sacrifices itself for the sake of the bread. But that's the machlokes. So that's what Tosfos says. You have to say that the girsi is that everyone agrees mashka bali ochel is lav ochel, because if you held mashka bali ochel is ochel, so then there, even if you hold mashka bali ibud is considered a mashka, but over here it's bali ochel, so it would anyway not be machshir l'kabel tuma. But nevertheless, the Gra points out that other Rishonim have a different girsa. He says girsa sagaonim is that it's ochelhu. So you got to figure out exactly how they're going to read that line in the Gemara. That if the girsa of the Gaonim, and many Rishonim don't like the girsa of Rashi and Tosos, they ask on Rashi and Tosos that we paskin mashka bali ochel is ochel. So it's hard to say that the Gemara says as a derech stam that no, maybe everyone really agrees that it's lav ochel. How can you suggest that? We don't paskin that way. We paskin the other way. So you can't say everyone agrees that it's lav ochel. We paskin that it is ochel. So therefore, many Rishonim of the Girsa, that the Kuli Al-Masov Mashka Bali Ochel, Ochelhu, that we originally think that the machlokas is about mashka bali ochel, because schitas hanavim bepas gives it a certain tam. So we're saying that if it gives tam into the pas, everyone agrees that it's ochel and it's not machshir. But over here we're talking about with schitas hanavim al pi alechem is not that it's giving tam into the lechem. It's just that it shouldn't burn. The bread shouldn't burn in the fire, because the fire instead just burns up that little bit of liquid, and that's why it's machshir, even though it's holich liibud. And the one that says ain't a machshir is because since it's making the bread nicer, so therefore it's like a mashka habali ochel. Meaning, their argument is, does this have the status when it's holich liibud of a mashka habali ochel, or does it not have the status of a mashka habali ochel? Okay, meaning, is it separate, considered separate from the bread, or is it considered something that becomes part of the bread, because it's not really actually giving flavor into the bread, so maybe it doesn't even get into the category of a mashka bali ochel. Anyway, where do we find this machlokas, whether mashka that's holich liibud is a din of mashka or not? Ubaplukta dani tanai, we have such a machlokas in the braisa d'tanya hamafatzei b'zeisim yadayim esuavos uchshar. If a person is squeezing olives with tamei hands, so it's machshir, it does become hukshar l'kabel tuma, because you want that mashke to come out of the olives in order to make them more tasty. L'sovsan b'melech lo hukshar. But if you're squeezing out a little bit of juice from the olives just so that you could salt the olives, so then it's not hukshar l'kabel tuma, because you're not really interested in the mashke. You just want to get rid of it. You just want it out of there so the olive will become softer, so that it will soak better in the salt. If you're squeezing it just to know whether the olives are ready, whether they're ripe enough, they're ready to be cut from the tree, then it's lo hukshar. It's not hukshar l'kabel tumah. You just want to see if the oil is good yet or not, but the mashke is immediately halich l'ibud. You're not saving that little bit of liquid that comes out. Rabbi Yehuda omer hukshar, but in that third case, Rabbi Yehuda says it is hukshar l'kabel tumah. So my love, bakum ifli, what are they arguing about? The marsav mashke ahome l'ibud mashku, marsav love mashku. The whole point is that little bit you're squeezing out to see if the olives are ready is halich l'ibud. So that's why you have machlokas tanaim, whether it has a din of a mashke, the tables be mashke l'kabel tumah or not. So that's where we find the precedent for this second explanation of the machlokas of Rav Papa, that it's all the machlokas about mashke halich l'ibud. So you see that there is such a machlokas about mashke halich l'ibud. Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua will say, no, a third possibility. Hani tanaim mashke omed l'ibud pligi. The machlokas you just quoted about the olives that are on the tree that you're squeezing, you're right. That's about mashke omed l'ibud. I don't argue that there is no machlokas about that. There is a machlokas tanaim about that, but that's not what our machlokas tanaim is about. Meaning, the case of machlik ba'anavim, of putting the grape juice on the bread, is not about the issue of mashke omed l'ibud. V'hanich tanaim b'mashke omed l'tzachtzchok amifli. What our machlokas is about is when you take liquid just to shine the loaves of bread. It's purely for shine and for nothing else. Is that considered a mashka? So that we already said earlier in the daf that's how we started today. Except we said in the name of Shmuel. Now we're saying in the name of Rav that you could squeeze out grapes into a kedera, a food, because that's considered an ochel, but not into a ka'ara. But now we add something else. V'dag l'tziro afilu l'tocha ka'ara. To squeeze a fish of its brine, you could do that even into an empty pot. Apparently, squeezing the brine out of a fish is not considered a mashke, that's considered an ochel. Again, even though it's a liquid, and this time it's not even going into a food, it's considered an ochel. Yes, Rav Dimi became a lala shmaita, so Rav Dimi was saying this over. Amle abay l'Rav Dimi, atun m'shmei d'Rav masin v'lo kashaluchu. You say it over the name of Rav, and that's why you don't have any kashas. Anan m'shmei d'Shmuel masin v'lo kashalan. But I had this teaching in the name of Shmuel, and therefore I have a kasha. Miyom or Shmuel dug l'tziru afilu tocha kara. Does Shmuel really hold that if you squeeze fish brine out of a fish, that it has a din of an ochel? Va'itmar kavashim shesachtan. What if you squeeze pickled vegetables? You squeeze them out of their juices. Amarav l'gufan mutter. So Rav says, if you're just trying to make the vegetable better by squeezing out some of the excess liquid, then it's mutter. L'meimehen, but if you're squeezing the liquid out of the vegetables because you want the liquid that was soaked in the vegetables, patrav l'aser. Then that's going to be a violation, at least midrabanan, of schita. With shlakos, if you have cooked vegetables, not pickled vegetables, but cooked vegetables, bein l'gufan, bein l'meimehen, mutter. Then it doesn't matter why you're squeezing them out. Either way, it's going to be mutter. Shmuel amar echad kvashim echad shlakos l'gufan mutter l'meimein patrav l'aser. But Shmuel will hold, it doesn't matter if it's pickled, if it's cooked, doesn't make a difference. If you're squeezing them out because you want the liquid, it's aser. It's aser midrabanan. So what's the problem? We said that when you squeeze a dag l'tziron, that it's mutter, and we said it in the name of Shmuel. Wait, isn't a dag l'tziron the same as shlakos, the same as cooked vegetables? And over here, Shmuel says squeezing cooked vegetables for the juices is aser, is aser midrabanan. So how can he say squeezing fish brine out of fish is mutter? So amalei halukim ein eroy v'lo zar mipumi de Rabbi Yirmiyah Shmuel iv Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Chia Barashi Rabbi Chia Barashi mirav. He says you have to trust my tradition. My tradition is that we don't have this statement about fish from Shmuel. It traces back to Rav. It doesn't trace back to Shmuel. Period. So you don't have any kashas because you can't ask a steer in Shmuel. It didn't come from Shmuel. It came from Rav. Gufa. Kvash, we just mentioned, kvash m'shesachtan, if you squeeze out cooked vegetables, amar rav, l'gufan mut, I'm not cooked vegetables, pickled vegetables. So, amar rav, l'gufan mut, l'meimein patrav l'aser, u'shlakos bein l'gufan bein l'meimein mutter. So Rav said, if you're squeezing them out because you want the vegetables to taste better, so then it's mutter. If you're squeezing them out because you want the liquid, it's patrav l'aser. But cooked vegetables, doesn't matter what your intention is, it's mutter no matter what. U'shmuel amar achadzeh v'achadzeh l'gufan mut, l'meimein patrav l'aser. Shmuel said, both cooked and pickled vegetables. If you want to make the vegetable better, it's mutter. If you want the liquid that comes out of it, it's pater avalaser. Rabbi Yochanan Amar echad kvashim echad shlakos legufan mutter lemeimein chayiv chatas. Rabbi Yochanan says that I agree with Shmuel in that there is no chilik between kvashim and shlakos, between pickled and cooked vegetables, but the halach is a little different. I think if it's legufan, I agree that it's mutter. You're doing it just to make the vegetable better, to unwaterlog it a little bit. That's mutter. Lemeimein chayiv chatas, though. I think if you're squeezing out these vegetables, if you could picture that you have a vegetable soup or a chicken soup with a couple of vegetables in it, and you have a carrot or a zucchini or something that's soaked with soup. So you may want to squeeze that a little bit on the zucchini, and some of the soup will come out. Why are you doing it? Is it because you don't like the zucchini? It's too hot when the hot soup is still inside of it, and it helps it cool off a little bit when you squeeze some of the soup out of it, so you're making the zucchini better? That's legufan. Or is it because you want to soak up some of the soup with your challah or something, so you want more soup because you already finished all the liquid in the bowl? You're trying to get more soup, or for your kid or something, so you squeeze it out of the zucchini. So that's lemeimein. So that's what he says. Lemeimein is not patrav lasa midrabanan. Chayiv chatos daraisa. So three shitos. Says the Gemara Meisvei, but we have a brisa that goes against all three. Sochtim kvashim shabbos l'tzorach shabbos avlo l'motzoy shabbos. You're allowed to be sochet pickled vegetables on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos, just not for the sake of Motzai Shabbos. V'zeis ma'anov m'lo yischot v'msachar chayiv chatas. Can't squeeze grapes and olives, and if you do, you chayiv chatas. So kashal Rav, kashal l'shmol, kashal Rabbi Yochanan. This seems to be against all three shitos. So says Gemara, no, each one will translate that brisa to conform with their shita. Rav matarits tamei, Rav will say this follows. Rav will be matarits tamei, Shmuel matarits tamei, Rabbi Yochanan matarits tamei. Rav matarits tamei, Rav says as follows. Softly he says, this is how to read the brisa. Sochtin kvashim b'shabbos l'tzorach ha-shabbos avlo l'motzoi Shabbos. You're allowed to squeeze out pickled vegetables for Shabbos, on Shabbos, for Shabbos, but not for Motzai Shabbos. Medvar mamurim legufan. That's only if you want to make the vegetables better. Avol meimein pater avol aser. But in a chinami, that whole brisa is not talking about meimein. If it were lemeimein, it would be pater avol aser. Ushlakos, and if it were cooked vegetables, bein legufan bein lemeimein mutter. Then it's mutter no matter why you're squeezing it out. V'zeisim anavim lo yischot v'msachtan chayiv chatos. Then the brisa goes on to tell us the other halacha of zeisim anavim. Shmuel mataris tamei. Shmuel read the brisa as follows. Sochtim kvashim b'shabbos l'tzorach ha-shabbos, v'adin l'shlakos. You're allowed to squeeze out pickled vegetables. Oh yeah, and also cooked vegetables when you need it for Shabbos. That's only when you want the vegetable to be better, and that's why you're squeezing it out. But if you want the actual liquid that's coming out, so then it's pater avalaser. And if you do, you're chayiv chatas. Rabbi Yochanan matarits tamei, sochtim kvashim l'tzorach ha-shabbos avlo l'motzoi shabbos, echad kvashim echad shlakos. Doesn't make a difference whether it's pickled or cooked vegetables. You're allowed to be sochet them for Shabbos, but not for Motzai Shabbos. By medvar mamurim legufan, that's only if you want to make the vegetable better. Avol meimein lo yischot v'msachat nasa kemisha sachat zeisim anav mechayiv chatas. And if you do squeeze it out for the liquids that you want, the liquid that's coming out of it, that's the same as being sochet zeisim anav, which means it's an isadar raisa, and one is chayiv chatas. When all the dust settles, when it comes to pickled vegetables, Rav and Shmuel hold their aser midrabanan to squeeze it out. Rabbi Yochanan holds aser midah or raisa. Even though there's a braisa, seems to say mutal chachil to squeeze pickled vegetables for their juices, each Amora reinterprets what that means, that it's mutal chachila, that it doesn't really mean that it's mutal chachila. Each Amora makes it work. When it comes to cooked vegetables, Rav holds mutter, Shmuel holds aser midrabanan, Rabbi Yochanan holds aser midah raisa. Three shitas. Okay. Period. New. But this chilek, just parenthetically, this chilek between kvashim, we do have a concept in Yardea, kavush kamavushal, that tam can transfer. Normally, in order to transfer taste from one item to another, you need heat. In the kitchen, if something gets strafed up, there had to have been heat involved. Except for very rare, specific exceptions where tam can be transferred even without heat. We have davar charif with duchka de sakina. That's why whenever an onion is chopped, it's always problematic. Even though the onion is cold, the knife is cold, but you take a fleshig knife and you chop an onion, and then you put that onion in something milchiks, you got problems. Because duchka de sakina, the pressure of a knife, together with the davar charif, can transfer tam even in the absence of heat, we also have a concept of chavush kumavushal, that if something soaks or is pickled in something else, even though it's completely cold, it's ki'ilu u's cooked in something. So if you were to soak something in a treif of soup, you're going to soak a vegetable in it, it will become as if it were cooked in it, and even if you wash it off completely and you get all the soup out of it, it doesn't matter, it already was balea the tam. So kavush is kimavushal. We see from this Gemara, amongst others, is that it's not mavushal mamish, meaning even though it's kimavushal regarding halachos of blios, we don't consider it mavushal for everything. That's the discussion. What about maror? On the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat maror that's mavushal on Pesach. So it's sholom v'darshan, lamed yom kodem achag. So you're not allowed to eat maror that's mavushal. Can you eat maror that was kavush, that was soaked? A lot of times people want to soak their lettuce in order to get all the bugs off of the lettuce. So poskim are machmir that you shouldn't soak it in brine or vinegar or something like that, because that may have a din of kavush, and that may have a din of mavushal, and therefore may be a problem for the maror. For Erev Tavshilin, would you say you need a Tavshil? For Erev Tavshilin, would you say that that kavush is good enough? So Pashtus, I think the Shulchan Aruch says not that way. I have to look in Tavkuf Chavzayin. I think the Shulchan Aruch says not that way. Again, not for every halacha do we say that kavush is kimavushal, but for many halachas it is. Good. Amrav Chiyah Barashi Amrav. Tzvar Torah Inu Chayev El Aldrisa Seisim Anav Mulvan. Mida Arayis, a person's only Chayev for squeezing olives and grapes. V'chein Tani Dibay Menashe, Tzvar Torah Inu Chayev El Aldrisa Seisim Anav Mulvan. So that's a halacha that relates to everything we've been talking about. Once we mention that, we say another thing that Rav Chiyah Barashi Amrav taught me, which has nothing to do with anything, but the Ein Eid Mipiyed Kasher, Ela Le'edus Isha Mulvan. That Eidus of hearsay, an aid me p'yed, someone who didn't witness the event, who says, someone told me that this happened, that's only kosher for Eidus Isha. If a woman is not sure if her husband is dead, her husband is MIA, so for someone to come back and say, oh, I saw a soldier on the battlefield who told me that he saw the husband dead, that's good enough, the woman's allowed to get remarried based on that alone. So that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. Why? Why would the Rambam write at the very end of Hilchos Gerushin, Al yikshebe einecha she'tiru chacham ha'erva ha'chamur ha'ervas isha, he says, don't wonder about how we could rely on something that's totally unreliable, ABP8, for the most important thing in the world, whether she's an Ashes Ish or not. He says, no, the Torah only requires Shnei Edim when we don't know a fact, when we don't know something that in fact is true. But this is considered that we know that in fact it's true, because people don't mess around with something like this, and a woman would never get remarried unless she knew for sure. So that's considered to be that we are omer al burio, and therefore it's not a problem. Ibayilu, ein mipiyed leidus b'char mahu. What about ein mipiyed to be made about a b'char that it has a mum, and therefore can be shechted, and eaten as opposed to just brought as a korban. So Rav Ami Asif, Rav Asi Shari. Rav Ami says that's good enough. It's no good. Rav Asi says it's good enough. Amle Rav Ami Rav Asi. Rav Ami says Rav Asi v'atan de beminashia ein mipiyed kosher el leidus isha b'vad. It says only for eidus isha. Sounds like eidus b'char is not good. Emele eidus sheha isha k'sher la b'vad. No. It doesn't mean Eidus Isha. It means any Eidus that a woman is kosher to give. And a woman is kosher to give Eidus that the Bukhar was a Baal Mum. Rav Yemer Akshayin Mipiyed the Bukhar. Kari Le Maremar Yemer Shari Bukhra. So Rav Yemer Matir Eid Mipiyed for Bukhar. And Maremar Maktin that he's Yemer Shari Bukhra. That he's the Yemer that's going around being Matir Bukharos. Vilksa Eid Mipiyed Kosher the Bukhar. We paskin that it's Kosher the Bukhar. Chalos Tvash. The Mishnah had said that if you have honeycombs that are crushed and it's flowing honey from before Shabbos, right? That was the discussion in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that if that chalos dvash risk on erev Shabbos v'yatzim yatzman asurin Reb Lozer matir. That Tanakama says asur, that honey is asur. Reb Lozer says mutter. Kiyasur Reb Hoshi Amenar da asur vaisim asnis biyadizesim and amshir risk on erev Shabbos v'yatzim yatzman asurin Reb Lozer Reb Shimon matirin. What if it's not a honeycomb? It's grapes and olives that were crushed and liquid is oozing out of them. So Tanakama says asur. Blazer Rabbi Shimon say it's mutter. So Amar of Yosef Gavri say Rasa Lashminun. It's the same machlokas as the honeycombs in the Mishnah. All you did is instead of just saying that it's Rabbi Lazar that holds its mutter, you added another guy to agree with Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon is matir. So that's it. That's all you had to add is one more name to the list. That's the whole chiddush. Amle Abaye Tuva Kabashul. No, it's telling me a very great chiddush. from the Mishnah, it's a case of chalos tavash, where it was ochel, and the honey that comes out is also ochel. But over here, where it's oozing out of grapes and olives, so it was ochel, it was a grape, it was an olive, but now it's grape juice, now it's olive oil, now it's a mashke. So I would think that the same would not be so, that there would not be matir. So kamash melon therefore comes to tell me that it is the same, that Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon would still be matir. Okay, now here's the very important mission about ein bishul achar bishul. Kol shabah b'cham in Erev Shabbos, anything that was soaked was cooked in hot water on Erev Shabbos, shor nosa b'cham in Shabbos, you're allowed to put it in hot water again on Shabbos. The kol shalav b'cham in Erev Shabbos, madich nosa b'cham in Shabbos, something that was not put, that was not cooked in hot water on Erev Shabbos, you're only allowed to rinse in hot water on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put it in a pot of boiling water on Shabbos. You can only rinse it, which means Iroi Kli Rishon is what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. Chutzman Amaliyach HaYashon, except for certain types of food. V'kluyus HaSpanish HaDechasan Zui Gemar Malachtan. That there are certain types of food, Spanish mackerel or whatever, different that cook very easily, and even if you rinse it in hot water, you're going to be chayiv chatas. So says Mar Kikon Mai, what are examples of something that's baba chamin on Erev Shabbos that you're allowed to then put in a pot of hot water again on Shabbos? I'm going to start with the tanagolos of Rabbi Abba, like the tanagolos of Rabbi Abba. He used to cook it, overcook it for a very long time, where he'd want to keep it soaking in boiling water for a long time to make it very soft. Vamar of Safra. Safra says, oh, once you mentioned that, Zimna Chad, Eklaus, Lahasa Malkamina, I once tasted that. The Lora Rabbi Abba Dashke and Chamra Bartlasa Tarfi Itnasi, and had Rabbi Amina been there to give me some delicious wine, I would have vomited. It was so disgusting. The food was horrible. Rabbi Yochanan Raik Mikutcha de Bavlai. Rabbi Yochanan used to have to spit every time he would even mention the Kutach HaBavli, this dip that they would use in Bavel. It was so disgusting to him. He was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Different foods in different places. What people find disgusting, I remember when I was a child, Jews used to think sushi was disgusting. How could people eat raw fish? Ugh, disgusting. And nowadays, there's not a, well, there maybe some Jews that still think, but most, whatever. It's not so disgusting. It's a matter of what you're used to. I'm Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef says, oh yeah? Well, the Tarnagolos of Rabbi Abba makes me spit, meaning everyone is insulting the other one's food. So he says, the sick people of Eretz Yisrael needed this kutach babli, made everyone sick. Anything that didn't get cooked on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to put into a boiling pot of water on Shabbos. Hidiach mai. What if it was rinsed before Shabbos? Amar Rav Yosef, hidiach chayev chat. Meaning, what if you, I'm sorry, do rinse it on Shabbos? Hidiach chayev chatas. It's nisadar raisa. Amar ma'breid ravina afananami tanina. Chutz mi meliach yashnu kol yisan espanis shadachasan zui gemar malachtan. Shema mina, that by these types of foods, the hadacha is the gemar malacha, meaning that's how you cook it. You cook it by pouring boiling water from a kli rishon onto it. Yasser b'chibar abba Rabbi Yassi kamed Rabbi Yochanan, v'yasser Rabbi Yochanan v'kome namneim. Rabbi Yochanan was sitting there dozing off. Amalei b'chibar abba l'Rabbi Yassi. So b'chibar abba says Rabbi Yassi, m'pnei ma ofre shebabl shmeinim, why are there such fat birds in Bavel? Amalei kolich l'midbar azza v'erich shmeinim mehen. We'll go to midbar azza, I'll show you even fatter ones. The Babylonian ones aren't so fat. M'nei ma mo'adim shebabl smechim, why are people so happy on the Yom Tovim in Bavel? M'nei shein aniyim, because they're poor, so the whole year they don't have any simcha, they don't get to eat and drink. This is the one time that they get to actually enjoy life, so that's why they're so happy. Why do all the Tamil Chabim and Bavel dress up so much? They wear the nice long frock and the whatever, they look so distinguished. Because they're not Tamil Chabim, so they have to compensate by looking like Tamil Chabim. A fourth question, why are Ovdei Kochavim so disgusting? Because they smell, because they eat shkatzim rumasim, and it gives them a smell. Itabuhu Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan woke up. He heard this conversation going on. Amar lahu dardiki lo kach amarti lechem. Amar lechach ma'achosiyat. How many times I have to tell you that you should say lechach ma'achosiyat, which means in bar lecha adaver kachos kashi asur lach omrehu. If something is clear to you, like your sister that she's asur to you, if a matter is that clear to you, then you should say it ve'im lav. And if it's not that clear to you, then al tomrehu. Then do not say it. You shouldn't speak about things that you don't know. Amar lahu Lema Lamar Reza Mehen. So why don't you tell us what your explanation is? So Mipnei Malov Shabbat Shemenim Mnei Shalol Galus Shnemar Hashan Rav Minoura V'Shakatu Al Shemarav Ubegal Lohalach. That in the, they were never exiled the same way that Israeli birds and Israeli fish were. Other birds and fish were returned as opposed to Spanish mackerel, which we're about to say. V'Hacha Minolan De Galu. How do we know that our birds were Galu? D'Tanya Rav Yudomer Nunvei Shana Lo Avar Ish B'Yehuda Shnemar. Okay, we're not going to have time for this. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with Rabbi Yochanan's answers to all four of these questions.